Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, a question we often hear is, should I do a Roth conversion? And as you might expect, the answer really depends on the circumstances. So on today's show, we're going to highlight some reasons when it might make sense and when it might not.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker's here. I'm Steve Sadala. Kevin's been helping folks get to and through retirement for more than 30 years. You can learn more about him and Silverleaf Financial at silverleaffinancial.com. Silverleaf Financial.com, that's the website. Check it out. You can reach Kevin that way, or you can call him at 800-975-6717. So, Kevin, how's things?
Things are great. Things are going really well, and, we're staying warm here in Arizona. It's a nice summer day.
Absolutely. You know, I've been watching the Olympics. I didn't know if I'd get into it or not, but I'm kind of fascinated by some of the things you see. It's stuff you don't see every day.
No, you definitely don't see it every day, and I'm amazed at the things that people are able to do when you train relentlessly, right?
Yes.
And dedicate yourself to it. The human body is capable of amazing things,
mm-hmm.
and that is on display with, 10,000 athletes or something in Paris. And so I think it's pretty incredible. I've been watching, whenever I can, really.
Yeah.
And I did not realize, though, some of the things that have become Olympic sports, like flag football.
Right. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that. So, hey.
And even the skateboarding, too. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either. I'm good. You know what? I like skateboard. I like seeing the skateboarding. I did that as a kid. Not that I was anything good at it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around curling, to be honest. but hey, who am I to question it?
Well, here's what we're going to question. We're talking about Roth conversions, Kevin, and this is a big topic, and as you said, sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. So let's start with when it does make sense.
Yes, for sure. And you guys, just to remind everybody, the Roth conversion involves transferring money from your regular or traditional IRA or 401k into a Roth IRA. And some people have actually Roth 401ks, at their workplace. So what we want to look at is several different things. One thing you want to consider, of course, is your tax bracket. Because if you convert the money, when you put the money in there, right, we got a tax deduction and it's going to grow tax deferred. And that simply means that you're going to pay tax, but not until you take it out. Okay, so whenever tax is deferred, it's just like an annuity contract for what it's worth, folks. An annuity contract will grow tax deferred, so you don't pay tax on the interest until you take it out. And that's one of the reasons why some people say that's a great benefit for an annuity, is because you don't have to take the tax out to pay the bill. Same concept with tax deferred money in a retirement account. And so what you want to look at, if you're going to convert, you want to look at your income tax bracket is one thing you start with. And because the idea is, let's say you're in a 20% tax bracket now, do you expect to be in a higher or a lower bracket in retirement? If you're in a higher tax bracket now, right, maybe you want to wait until you're in a lower tax bracket in retirement to withdraw that money.
Sure.
You know, so those are some of the things that we have to take into consideration. And there's really many things to look at. And I think tax bracket is important, but I personally think the time horizon is one of your most important things to think about.
Sure, especially in Roth conversions.
Exactly.
Because there's time involved. I mean, it takes time to build that up.
That is. It does take time to build it up. And guys, let me tell you something. If you're going to do a Roth conversion or a 401k conversion, please pay the tax bill with outside funds. Don't use the money in the retirement account to pay the tax, and that gives you an extra, essentially, an extra contribution, right?
Yeah.
So if you pull out 100 grand out of a 401k or a regular IRA, and you got to pay 20 grand tax, right? Rather than paying the 20 grand tax out of the retirement account, pay it with outside funds. And now you've converted that to tax-free money, and you've essentially contributed a bigger amount, right? It's one way to think about it.
Oh, yeah. What a great way to think about it.
And so that, to me, is a huge benefit, right? And so figure out how you can do it. And if you only got outside funds that you can only pay for a 50 grand conversion, then maybe just do 50. Because to me, that's a huge benefit of putting money of getting tax-free money into that account. And anybody that's listened to the show, you probably know that I am a big proponent of tax-free accounts. I think that putting money in a Roth is really underrated, to be honest. And I think it's underappreciated. And I really think anybody younger than the age of 40, I think pretty personally, I believe the majority of your money should be going into Roth accounts. Because what I'm looking at, if you're under the age of 40, you've got at least 20 years, if not 25, 30, 35 years, depending on your age, right? Mm-hmm. That money can be growing for you. And so one of the things that a lot of times seems to be left out of the conversation on whether you should convert is let's do some math, right? In other words, let's do some math on where the account value is now and where you think that account value will be when you're retired, okay?
All right.
So if you're young, okay, let me give you just a general rule of thumb. I think every 9 to 10 years, on a general rule of thumb, you could expect the stock market to double, okay? Go back to the rule of 72. If we get an 8% return from your investments every year and you do that for 9 years, you're going to have about a double in your money, okay? So if you're 20 years from retirement, that account could be 4 times the amount that it is now, right? A double,
yes,
and a double again. Okay, so now let's go back to that example when I said if you're at least 20 years, okay? Now we're going to imagine paying tax on your $100,000 that you're converting, right? So you're going to pay the tax on 100 grand. So your 20% tax bracket, you pay 20 grand. Now after 20 years, you got 4 times return from 8% a year. I'm not talking about crazy returns. I'm just saying regular average returns over time. That account should be worth about 400 grand, right?
Man,
so
man,
would you
sure.
have rather paid tax on the 100 or would you rather pay tax on the 400?
Well, I think that's an easy question to answer, of course.
Right? I think that's an easy question to answer. And that's how I look at it in my mind. Maybe I just have a simple mind, but that's how I look at it. I say, if you're really close to retirement, you know, or less than 5 years, less than 10 years, then the growth of the account is not such a factor, right? Maybe it will be, you know, but that's much harder to predict or foresee. Whereas if you've got a long period of time, I think you've got the odds and the probability that you see those returns are much higher. Because when we talk about the way the market moves, you know, how it goes through cycles, you don't know if you're stepping into a bear market next week or tomorrow or next year. You just don't know. And so we never know when the good markets are going to be here and when the bad markets will necessarily be here. But if you've got a long time frame, I'm going to suggest to take a really hard look at doing everything you can to convert to a Roth if you've got at least 20 years, because now you've got at least 20 years of tax-free growth. And I think that would save you thousands and thousands of dollars over the long haul. And so I think it's important to take a look at, do the math, and put in some realistic projections about how much growth you expect. Don't do anything double digits. You know, I used 8% because I think that's a reasonable expectation.
Sure.
And so I think if you do that, take a look at it, it might help present it in a different light, let's say.
Okay. Well, and again, time horizon is everything. And so how does that – I guess with estate planning, when that comes up, I guess the reason is that is a way to pass on generational wealth without taxes?
It is. Yes, it is. Excuse me. The Roth, whoever takes that money out, whether it's the owner of the account that put the money in there or it's his beneficiary, it doesn't matter if it's spousal or a child or anybody else, it's a tax-free account. So as long as they take it out within the rules, which now we have that 10-year provision, it's not a lifetime stretch. But before that happened, the Roth IRA was even better because they could get lifetime tax-free income.
Yes.
Now you have to take it out in 10 years, over the course of 10 years. And so, but it's still a very nice, very attractive benefit. There are some people that are actually speculating that it's going to go away. And there are others, by the way, high income earners, pay attention. The backdoor Roth, there is a lot of talk in Washington about eliminating the backdoor Roth. And so if you're a high income person that makes, you're over the amount of money that you can make to legally contribute to the Roth, okay? As of right now, there's no income limit on a backdoor conversion. And I don't know where backdoor came from, but it's another way of doing it. It's really just a conversion. I don't know why they say backdoor.
Well, it's a loophole, a legal loophole.
It is. It's a loophole because you get around the income requirement.
Right.
And so you can, you know, Elon Musk, right, richest man in the world, he could do a Roth conversion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he should be able to, but he can't. But anyway, so the point is there's a lot of talk in Congress about them eliminating that provision. So if you want to take advantage of it, if you're a younger person, meaning, and I'm going to say if you've got at least 20 years to retirement and you're a high-income person, you really owe it to yourself to take a look at it. I know if you're high-income now, you're already paying a lot in taxes, but ask yourself if you really think when you retire, your tax rate's going to be lower than it is now. With a $35 trillion national debt and with $1 billion a year in interest expense, do you really think your tax rate is going to be lower 20 or 30 years from now? And that's why I think Roth conversions make sense.
Sure. Absolutely. So, folks, if you want to know some more, give them a call, 800-975-6717, or just visit silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com. You'll find a ton of information there. Great stuff. You keep that very up to date.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I appreciate that, Steve. And guys, please, you know, when you have a chance, take a look at the website. We try to put up fresh content. We put it up all the time. Every week we're putting up new content. All of my podcasts for at least the last year are on the website. So you can go back and listen to something I was saying, you know, 6 months ago or something and see if I knew what I was talking about.
Sure.
For instance, one thing I'll point out on one of my shows, the title of it, is maybe lock in 6.15% interest for 5 years because it's the highest rate we've seen in almost 20 years. And I did that on one of the shows several months ago, and I congratulate everybody that took advantage of it. But that'll, you know, at least it's something you can point to and say, hey, at least I knew what I was talking about with interest rates.
Right.
Because you can't get that now. So, but take a look at it. Take a listen. I do that because I think it's a good way for people to, on their own time, at their own convenience, to just sit back and listen to the show and just see if we're a good fit. See if my thoughts, you know, are in sync with yours, or maybe not. Maybe, you know, when I tell you I'm voting all Democrat, you say you don't want to do anything, have anything to do with me. That's totally your choice, okay? The reason I talk about it is because I want people to know where I stand.
Sure.
And I want people to know what I think, what my strategy is, my philosophy. And I think you can glean a lot of information from listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And, you know, getting back to the Roth conversions, so we talk about estate planning, yes. The diversification of tax liability. What does that mean?
Yes, you know what? That is a big one, and I'm glad we're bringing that up, Steve. That to me is something I'm well. Let me step back. I've mentioned that many times when we've talked about Roth accounts, how I like the tax-free aspect. But I'm even a bigger fan of HSA accounts, which are health savings accounts. And the reason why is because the HSA is the only truly tax-free account. Meaning, if you do it right, okay, if you're eligible, and you've got to make sure what you've got to start with is to make sure that your health insurance plan is an HSA-compatible plan, okay? And that means it's got to have a high deductible, it's got to meet a certain threshold for deductibility and out-of-pocket expenses, things like that. But not everybody's insurance will qualify. So that's the first thing before you can contribute to it. If you can or if you have the ability to change your health plan, you know, self-employed people, for instance, this is something that I do every year when I'm looking at my health insurance. I renew every year and I have to decide, am I staying with who I'm with or am I switching? You know, is making sure it qualifies for the HSA.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the first step. But then when you put the money in, guys, you get the tax deduction on the money. You don't pay taxes on the growth. And when you pull it out, as long as you use it for a qualified expense, which is very far-reaching, all right? It's very far-reaching. It's good for everything from chiropractic to eye care, ear care, hearing aids, eyeglasses, of course, regular traditional medical prescription drugs. You name it. There's a lot of things that it will cover. In fact, including some you could use it to reimburse yourself for Medicare. In fact, not your Medicare supplement, but you can for the Medicare payment. So, what me and my wife have done, we both have Roth IRAs and we have an HSA account, and so I am building up the HSA account until we're in our. You can only contribute up until you turn 65, because once you're on Medicare, you cannot contribute to an HSA. All right. So then once we get into – I plan on holding mine, because mine is invested. I invest my tax-free accounts the most aggressively. That's my personal philosophy, that my tax-free accounts are where I invest the most aggressively. So I've got stocks like NVIDIA. I have Bitcoin, and I have other aggressive investments in my tax-free accounts, because if they work out, to me, that's the best situation. I don't have to pay tax on all the growth.
Yeah.
If they don't work out, so be it. I know what I'm doing. These are risky positions, okay? I'm not recommending them to anybody because we haven't talked. If you'd like to talk about them, I'd be happy to. But to me, it makes sense to go for the most aggressive growth in the tax-free accounts and more moderate growth in other types of accounts. So that's how I do it. And then what we're planning on doing down the road when we're in our 70s, and we've been paying – now, guys, once you sign up for Medicare when you turn 65, a lot of people don't know this until it happens. But when the government – once you signed up for Medicare and you're collecting Social Security – the government is going to take your Medicare premium out of your Social Security before they send you the money. So you're going to get the money after you've already paid Medicare, all right? What the HSA allows you to do is to keep your receipts for everything you've paid. Like now, you could be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, saving all of your receipts, all your medical bills, and then you can pay yourself back when you're 75 or 70.
Really? That's going to work?
That is how it's going to work. And so I'm accumulating, you know, over, who knows how much will accumulate over a lifetime. People have said to me, well, Kevin, what if I don't need it for healthcare? And I really suggest everybody think twice about that, really, and maybe three or four times about that, because most people spend a lot of money on healthcare. But if you just look at your Medicare premium, just reimbursing you for that, right?
Well, so yeah, a nice chunk of change every month.
It'll be a nice chunk of change. And what I'm planning on doing, like I said, I'm waiting until we're in our 70s. So I'll have at least 5 years of Medicare premiums to reimburse myself for, in addition to all the doctor's visits and any prescriptions we have to take and anything else that comes up along the way. So I can give myself $10,000 tax-free, you know, $20,000 tax-free, $30,000 tax-free, whatever it might be. And so that's how I plan on financing part of retirement. And what I'm getting at is when Steve talked about diversification of tax liability, okay, what that means is that when you are retired – and we always want to pay attention to taxes too, right? I want to do everything I can to keep everybody's taxes as low as, you know, legally possible. So what happens if you're bumping up against the next tax bracket, or you're bumping up against an income amount that would trigger another penalty? In other words, some people have a freeze on their homeowner's insurance. If they make too much income, they lose that freese on their homeowner's insurance. Okay, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Property tax. A freeze on the property tax. I apologize. Some people have a freeze on their property tax, and that's tied to their income. And so if they make too much in income, they would lose that freeze and have to pay more in property tax. So maybe when that person needs some money or they want to take some money out, I'd say, you know what, maybe we take it from the tax-free account right now so we don't bump your income anymore, so you don't have to pay a higher level of property tax. And the same thing works, okay, with Medicare. Your Medicare premium is based on your income, okay? And so if you have a large event, like I've had situations where people sell a house, something like that, and so they have like, you know, $500,000, $700, $800, $900 million in income 1 year, that will send you into the absolute highest bracket for Medicare, which I believe is $600 or $700 a month, $800
maybe.
Wow. It's an extra $600 a month, let me say it that way.
Wow, okay.
Over and above the normal premium. And so it makes a big difference. Then you've got to talk to Social Security. You've got to appeal it. You've got to clarify that, hey, that was a one-time thing. So it is very advantageous to have different types of accounts so that depending on where you're at for the year, we can choose which one we want to take the money from to try to reduce your overall tax liability.
Okay. Wow. That's a great path to walk down, and to work with you on that. That's – You get very excited about this, Kevin. I can tell.
You know what I do. I really love tax-free money. And I love setting it up for clients and making it grow and then going through things like this. Because, I mean, we pay taxes everywhere, right?
Yes,
sales, right? Sales tax, income tax, property tax, road tax. It's all over the place. And so I anything tax-free gets me excited. And I think everybody, you know, most people feel they already pay enough in taxes, right? So I think everybody, you know, it's kind of like a win-win to me. If we can hit our goals, you get the income you need, and you don't have to pay, you know, pay tax on that piece of money, and it keeps you in a lower tax bracket, I think that's about as good as you can hope for.
Okay, all right, fair enough. 800-975-6717. So there's one more positive, or one more when it makes sense to do a Roth conversion, and it's no RMDs for the original owner.
Yes, the RMD that despised required minimum distribution. And so now, gosh, what is it now, 73 now. And so you guys might know for a long time the required minimum distribution is for IRA accounts. It was 70.5 for a long time. And to give you an idea, the amount you have to take out is 3.65% in the first year. And I remember that because it matches the number of days in a year. Okay?
Okay.
So it's less than 4%. But let's say you've got, you know, if you got $500,000 in your IRA account, you're going to have to take out around 18 or 19 grand. And that is going to be fully taxed on the RMD. So the government did pass some changes a few years ago, and they raised it to, 71 and then 72. So your age, but now the age is 73 for the RMD, and it is set to go up to 75, I believe, in the next several years, is it? So depending on your age, it's somewhere in your early to mid-70s. But the nice thing about the Roth, there is no required distribution. So you don't ever have to take it out if you don't want to, and that is why it is an excellent estate planning tool as well.
Because, okay, now that makes sense.
Right? If you want to leave it for your kids or your grandkids, or whoever you want to leave it to, you can leave it untouched for as long as you live, and they've got another 10 years after you pass before they have to empty out the account. So that can be a ton of tax-free growth, which can reduce taxes on the estate, right? And so I think it's a tremendous tool, and I really think it's underutilized. And I say that because I meet so many people that have big retirement accounts, and a lot of them have nothing in a Roth. And so I always think that's, to me, it's like a missed opportunity. But if that's the case, so be it. You know what? It is what it is, right?
Sure.
So, but if you have the knowledge ahead of time, especially if you're below the age of 50, and I say 50 because if you're going to retire in your mid-60s, then you've got about 15 years to go. I believe that's still a significant amount of time that a Roth would make a big, big difference.
Okay.
The younger you are, the more it makes sense to do Roth.
Sure. And then estate planning, that is the way to provide generational wealth, isn't it? I think we talked about that, I guess.
Yes, it is definitely one way to do that. And that's something else that phrase has really popped up in the last several years.
It really has, hasn't it?
Yeah, generational wealth. I never really heard it until 4 or 5 years ago. And now I hear it all over the place.
Me too,
and,
yeah.
And so, yes, if that's something you're looking at, by all means, that is something we can help with too. But I got to tell you, if somebody is talking to me about wealth transfer and passing tax to the next generation, the very first thing you should be talking about is life insurance, okay? I know a lot of people don't like talking about life insurance, but it might make sense to take a look at it, because one thing to remind everybody, guys, life insurance policies benefit the premium payment, that face amount that pays out, is tax-free, okay? So that's why people use life insurance for part of estate planning, because they're trying to offset the tax bill that the beneficiaries are going to be hit with, all right? So that's why a lot of people do it. They say, you know what, they're going to have to pay $100,000 in taxes, so I'm going to get a $100,000 life insurance policy to help offset that. And so it all depends on your perspective. I've been doing this since 1990, and in 34 years of doing it, I can tell you honestly, there is no consensus, okay?
good to know.
There is no consensus amongst how people want to leave their money, okay? In other words, some people leave it to their kids. Some people leave it to their grandkids. Some people leave it to charities. You know, so there's any number of things, but if you think everybody leaves it to their kids, you would be mistaken. All right, so, and some people leave it to some kids and not other kids. So one thing with what I do is because of the nature of our beast, we get to know intimate details, at least in terms of the financial interactions amongst family members. And I tell people all the time, there is nothing wrong with changing the beneficiaries. If your child never talks to you, never wishes you a happy birthday, doesn't come home for the holidays, maybe you don't leave them any money. You know, it's your call. But I have had situations like that.
Wow.
You know, so estate planning is an important component. Let me mention one other thing, guys, on estate planning. I'm not an attorney. I do know a lot about it because of what I've done for my career. It's really important, in my opinion, to set up powers of attorney for health care and power of attorney for finance. As you're getting older, you need to do that before you get to the point, you know, that it's difficult for you to make those decisions. All right. You want to do it while you're younger, you know, and you've got all, I don't know how to really say it tactfully, but the best thing to do is do it while you're younger. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Put these things in place because accidents happen and it can happen at any point in time. We all see these news stories every weekend or every week about people, you know, dying in a car accident. So I would suggest if you don't have those documents in place, as in addition to your last will, okay, and with your last will, in my opinion, it should be notarized or have a signature guarantee or a third-party witness, an uninvolved witness, in other words, not a beneficiary, on that document. And then you want to take a look at them and update them as time goes by, and that'll help your estate to avoid probate.
Okay, and boy, we want to try to do that if we can.
Yo, for sure. Because I tell you, I do. Unfortunately, you talk, you know, family. It's really horrible, but money does crazy things to people.
Oh yeah.
And I have seen situations where families are torn apart because one sibling thinks they should get more than the parents said they wanted to leave them, and it winds up going to court. And so the better job you do at putting your documents together. And I would suggest, and I know a lot of people don't do it. I know my parents never, ever, ever spoke to me about money, all right? I think that was a mistake. I would encourage all parents to talk to your kids about it. You don't have to give them details, but let them know. Maybe that could avoid it. Maybe if you got three kids, say you're each going to get a third. And if anyone has a problem with it, talk to me about it now, okay? But I think it's advantageous to talk to them about it, and I also strongly recommend make sure your kids know where to find your important documents. Okay, where to find, who's your attorney, who's your accountant, who's your financial advisor, who do they get in touch with, okay, if something happens to you, who do they contact, okay, and what I tell all of my clients is make sure they have my card, and then if something happens, I will walk them through step by step everything they have to do, and I'll take care of most everything, you know, for them, but they need to know who to contact, so make sure your kids know that.
Right, and again, that's just... I mean, you are often one of the first calls made after someone passes or something.
That's
meet.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And you know, one good thing, guys, about insurance companies and financial companies, they're actually really good at paying out death claims. I mean, a lot of times, you know, they'll drag their feet like you're transferring money from one place to another. But they're actually very good with promptly processing and paying out the death claims.
Wow.
But you got to make sure the paperwork's right. Sometimes that paperwork can be a nightmare. So I would work with your advisor to make sure you're filling in everything correctly.
Sure. And again, you've got relationships with estate planning attorneys as well, so you could steer us in that direction.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And I've got relationships with some folks that and I don't get paid. I don't get a commission or anything from this. But I have some people that are very highly regarded by their clients. I've got clients that have used them, you know, for instance, to set up trust accounts, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to share that information, you know, and then you can make your own decision. But it is very helpful when you can get a referral from somebody that's already used the person, right? That's why I have clients. I ask them for testimonials and Google reviews, which I'm happy to share with you guys, too, if you'd like to see them.
Okay. Sounds good. So we're almost out of time. Can we talk a little bit about what went on? So we're recording this Thursday afternoon. This was quite a day in the market.
Oh, you know what? The market has been crazy this week, right?
Yeah.
especially if you're in the semiconductor stocks like I am. The ride in a lot of tech stocks overall can be a roller coaster ride, in particular semiconductors. And anybody that's listened to the show, you know, I've mentioned several times that I'm a shareholder of, I've owned NVIDIA for quite a while,
yep.
Which is an artificial intelligence play, and which I still think has very good prospects, by the way, but it is highly volatile and could easily get cut in half before it decides to go higher. It might never go higher, okay, for the record. But the stocks are very volatile. We've had basically what's happened, in my opinion, is what happened over the last first half of this year, let's say, the stock market and investors got very, very excited about artificial intelligence, AI. It got to the point that any company that even mentioned they were involved with AI in their conference call, you know, their earnings call,
yep.
If they even said that, the stock popped and jumped, okay, because investors got so excited about the potential in the future. And so what happened is companies like, you know, NVIDIA and Supermicro and a whole bunch of other, you know, AMD, Dell Computer, a bunch of them ran up had beautiful gains, tremendous gains on the hype from the future earnings that investors expect them to see from AI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now what's happened, now we're in earnings season, which is, you know, remember this is, you know, first part of August. Most companies, if they're on a calendar quarter, their second quarter ended June 30th. They have 45 days to announce their numbers from the end of a quarter, 90 days after the end of a calendar year. So they've got until August 15th to release their numbers. And so right now, this week, we had Microsoft announce numbers. And then we've got Amazon and Apple today. I believe we've got Intel as well. So you've got a lot of these big hitters announcing their numbers. Apple, one of the most, I think, what most valuable, Apple or Microsoft have been battling it out for most valuable company in the stock market.
Right.
They both release earnings this week. So their commentary about what they see going forward is what's going to drive the action and the short price action in the short term. So, for instance, the other day, I think in Microsoft's news earnings announcement, they spoke about how they're continuing to ramp up, how they're continuing to expand their CapEx. Okay, and that's Wall Street parlance for capital expenditures. That's the money the company is spending to grow their business. And in this case, it means how much money they're spending to buy supercomputing chips from NVIDIA, okay? Meta, the other day, Mark Zuckerberg and Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, they were on stage together at a conference a few days ago. And they swapped jackets, you know, and there's all sorts of stuff out there about that. And now they're buddy-buddy. They didn't like each other, I guess, in the past, but they're buddy-buddy now. And it turns out, you know, the boss of NVIDIA is saying, well, Mark, you know, you guys bought, you know, you've been a pretty good customer. And he says, well, we bought 600,000 GPUs from them.
Wow.
And they're
600,000.
600,000, and they're continuing to build up and expand, grow the amount of money they're committing to buying more and more and more of these incredibly fast supercomputers. And the next one is going to be the Blackwell, which is coming out, I think, later this year. And that's supposed to be even faster. And so there's still a tremendous amount of revenue to be generated. I believe we're in the early innings of this, Steve. And I think that if you have a long-term horizon, let's say 5 years or more, I think these stocks are going to be huge winners. But it's always possible somebody could come along and knock them off, you know, and they won't be the leader anymore. But what's happening this week is a combination of earnings announcements, forward-looking statements about, hey, this is what we see in the future. And the announcement, if you look early in the week, when these, like NVIDIA, had the biggest gain in market cap in market history. In one day, I think it gained over $300 billion, which I believe it's the biggest gain in one day. That's because of the statement from Zuckerberg at the Meta NVIDIA conference the other day, where he said how they're going to keep on buying NVIDIA's products. That's why NVIDIA jumped 10 or 12% in one day. And so it's just those little comments, conversations people having, that's what's moving the needle right now.
Wow, that's amazing how little it takes sometimes.
It really is, and it's amazing that a $3 trillion company like NVIDIA can move 12% in one day.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Just be aware of what you own, and if you've got things that you don't understand or you're not familiar with it, then give me a call. I will be happy to have a conversation. I've been doing this a long time. I'll be happy to answer any questions, and I can tell you that my clients. I build their portfolios custom for them, and I can tell them everything they own and answer any questions they have about it. And I'm hearing that a lot of big brokerage firms, the person you talk to doesn't even know what you own. So that might be something to give some thought to as you're figuring out who you want to work with as an advisor.
Absolutely. Don't forget, it's silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com. It's 800-975-6717. Well, Kevin, as always, it's a pleasure. The time just flies by. I love the Roth education. You kind of took me through some things I wasn't familiar with, so that was great.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Steve, thank you very much, guys. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you find the information helpful. And certainly feel free to reach out anytime. I'd be happy to help, and you can just go to my website and set up a quick 15-minute phone call. It's about the bottom right corner of the front page of my homepage of my website, and we can just set up a brief call to see if you'd like to sit down in person.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.